Today's daf is Ksubis Daf Tzadi, and we are on Peites Mabez. We'll start with the Mishnah on Peites Mabez, the second to last Mishnah in the ninth parak of Hakosev, and then we get into the tenth parak as we continue here towards the last quarter of the Masechta. Says the Mishnah, Peites Mabez. Again, Hakosev, this parak has been all about different the relationship and the financial relationship between the husband and the wife, and what could each of them do in terms of exonerating each other, or being mevater each other, or the opposite, or being mechayiv each other in terms of ksuba, in terms of the husband, in terms of the orphans. We had on Peizayin all the different types of cases where the woman is going to have to take a shvua before she collects her ksuba, pogemes, ed echad, nechse yesomim, all of those which are really shas ideas that apply to other shtaros too, but they're written here by the shtar of ksuba. So now we get into other issues of ksuba and get, etc. Says the Mishnah, shnei gitin v'shnei ksubos. Woman comes to Bezdin, she has two gets, two gitin, and two ksubas from the same man. Meaning, she was married and then divorced and then married and then divorced. And he wrote her a second ksuba the second time they were married, but she's claiming that he never paid her the first ksuba. Right? Two ksubas. Go veshtei ksubos. So the Mishnah says that she gets to collect two ksubas. If both of the ksubos were mukdam before the first get, so that gets into issues that we're going to discuss in the Gemara, but that's no, that we assume, Rashi says in the second by line, lo, sha'arei kishehechzira, lo kasav la, rekad mushtei ksubas leget rishon lo, sha'arei kishehechzira lo kasav la ksuba. When he married her again, he didn't write her a new ksuba, right? They're both from the previous marriage, right? That's a different case. But this is a case where it's get ksuba, get, so she would be able to collect two ksubas. One was committed to her from the first marriage, one was committed to her from the second marriage. Shtei ksubos v'get echad. If there are two ksubos and only one get, so what's the halacha there? Why? And the, both of them are muktam to the get. O ksuba v'shnei gitin, or ksuba v'shnei gitin, which means that he did not write her a new ksuba upon marrying her a second time. Obviously, married twice and divorced twice. O ksuba v'get v'misa, or she has one ksuba, but she was obviously married twice, because she has a get, and she's claiming that after they were married, then she died. He died, and now she is owed two different two ksubas. Shakan mushtein. Rashi doesn't say anything on this one. Then inagove al ksuba achas. So in all these cases, she only gets one ksuba. Why? Because even though she could prove that she was married twice, there's only one ksuba involved, and therefore she hamagarish zishto vehechzira amalas ksuba harishona machzira. Because if a man marries a woman and divorces a woman and is machzer her, the mitzvah of machzer grusha. So he just has in mind the first ksuba, and therefore he only has to pay her one, even if she could prove that she was married twice. Says the Gemara now, going on the case of two ksubos and one get. The case of two ksubos and one get. So what does she do? If she had, in the case of ksuba get, okay, fine. So that she can collect both is from two different time periods, and she has those rights. But what if it's two ksubos and one get? So then what's the halacha? Says the Gemara, explaining, Yiboy b'hai gav, yiboy b'hai gavya. Sounds like she could collect either one, right? She could collect, said the Mishnah. The Mishnah says she'll call and collect one ksuba, but which one? So either one. So Leimit Devi Tiyuta. The Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel is this, I guess, Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel, who we had earlier. Damar Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. Shnei Shtaros Hayotzin Beze Acher Ze Bital Sheni Yes Arishon. Right, you could collect either one. But once you write a second one, then it's a choice. You want to collect the second one. There's something better about the second one, so you cannot collect the first one. So is that our Mishnah against the din of Shmuel? Because Shmuel says, "Beat the Lashini as a Rishon," and our Mishnah is saying that it could be either or. So which is it? And the earlier one obviously has an earlier claim on Mishubadim from the kuchas that were sold. So the Gemara says no. Lavid mer ala amar of papa umodur of Nachman di osif be dikla litosevis kasve. No, Rav Nachman says, as we had earlier also, that if the second star is mosif in some way, maybe in the halakhic mechanism, maybe in the amount that's written, if the second one is most of anything, most of a dikla, le tosefes kasve, the reason it was written, is to give the choice for the tosefes, not because he was mochel, the earlier shibud. but you know, it was just giving the option. So the case is maybe he was Mosif, and therefore she cannot collect both of them, right? Because he didn't write in the second shtar. Rashi points out the Gemara we had earlier. That was the first one. Now I'm adding on to the second one. If he adds on something without saying I am adding on, he just writes a shtar for more or a better one, then he's giving her the choice. You could collect this one from a later date because you want this better, or the earlier date with the not better shtar. But that's the choice given, and therefore the Mishnah doesn't have to be against Rav Nachman Omar. Rav Nachman Amar Shmuel. The Ritva quotes a Deya. I mean, that's, we explained the Gemara according to Rashi, right? It's either or. The Ritva quotes a Deya of the Aruch, not here, but earlier when this Gemara came up on Daf Mem Dalid, where the Aruch says the Iker is collected from the earlier and the Tosefes is collected from the later time. That is what the Aval Rav Bal Aruch Piresh. He has that chilek. Is that how Rashi understands the Gemara? Rashi says the whole thing is either the earlier or the later, but that is the just a deya that the Ritva quotes earlier. Okay, finishing up this little section. Tana Rabbanan, Hotziya get viksuba vamisa. So if you have all three, so iim get kodem liksuba. So we didn't explicate this in the Mishnah, but here it is. If the get came before the ksuba, meaning get, ksuba, misa, right? He couldn't have the misa raya before the get, right? Then they wouldn't ever have been married again. But im get kodem ksuba, govish take ksubos. Then you get two ksubos, because obviously there was a ksuba before the get, that's a tanai bezdin, and now that this is a ksuba after the get, so then he wrote her a new ksuba, and she could collect two ksubas, like the first case of the Mishnah. Ksuba kodemus leget, but if the ksuba is kodemus to the get, in a gove el ksuba achas, only one, even though she proved that they were married afterwards. Shamagar sejishto vechzira, amalas ksuba rishona hechzira. Okay, so that gets into a couple of multiple ksuba issues. So now we continue. We had earlier, why would somebody write two ksubas? Maybe there was a lot of money. He didn't want it all to be collected from the same day. Maybe he's giving her some hosafa that he wants to give her the ability to collect from a later date. Either way, last mission of the parak. Katan, more obligations of suba questions. Katan shi siu aviv. What happens if a katan is married off by his father? The problem is that a kata cannot be married off by the father, right? A kata cannot be married. We've mentioned many times already. A katana can be married. On a daraisa level, even a katana can be married, right? The father can marry her off, kiddushi katana. On a darabana level, she can be married, right? That's kiddushi mi'un. But a katan cannot be married. So what happens if a father marries off a katan, which is nothing, but after he becomes a gadol, they stay married. Right, they continue the, it used to be a charade, it used to be a game, but now it's a real marriage. So, katan shi'isiyu aviv, ksubasa kayemes. The ksuba that his father wrote on behalf of him, when he was a katan, still sticks. Right, ksubasa kayemes, the Ritva adds, kishehigdil uba'al. When he became a gadol and stayed living with her, he didn't write her a new ksuba, so the first ksuba, which was ineffective, or was written lagabi a marriage that was ineffective originally. So that ksuba is kayemes sha'almanas kein kima. Because that's why he was mekayemer. You can't be married without a ksuba. So that's why we assume that this is the ksuba. The earlier ksuba is what he was committing to, even though he did not explicate. Similarly, ger shedizgaira ishto imo. Right, a case of non-Jews who were megayer, and he did not write her a new ksuba. Maybe he had written her an earlier ksuba, even though there's no such thing for a non-Jew, but he kept it. Ksubasa kayemes, shalmanas kein kima. Because without mentioning anything, we assume that it is also brought over from the previous date. So it applies by a katan kishehigdil and a ger kishen isgadel. Right, there is a shiloh we've touched on, but let's just mention it again now. Shiloh of the Noda Yehuda. But the question is, why can't a katan get married? Why can't halakhically a katan get married? We know a katana has rights midaraisa. It's beferish psukim in the Torah. But what about, right, it's biti dasati. But what about a katan? So is it a katan a labardas? Even though katana is also a labardas. Why can't a katan get married? In the language of the Noda Yehuda, he says, we find on a daraisa level that a katan is kone in other contexts. And what's happening by a marriage? The husband is being kone, the woman is being makna herself, So, why ask the Nodeh Yehuda? According to the Rishonim that say, a katan can get married, a katan can be kone, mida oraisa, when it's a context of da'as acheres makne, where someone else is pushing it into the Rishus. So, why can't that happen? Nodeh Yehuda Eben Ezer, Tinyana, Nundalad. Kashali, al kol aktanim, lama lo yuchlu l'kadesh isha, shetei mukudeshes afilu mida oraisa. Why doesn't that work, as the Nodeh Yehuda? V'halo, k'shades da'as acheres makne lo, yesh lo kinyin. Ula rova poskim afilu min ha-Torah. Bali Tosfos all over the place say that. V'harei ha-isha hi gedola, v'hi makne atzma lo, v'lama lo yiknosa. Right, why can't he be koner? Right, and that's his shaila. And then he says, he tries to answer it, it's about davar kasha be'enai. He says, I don't understand why this shouldn't work. That's the Nodeh Yehuda's kasha. Who answers the question? The Avne Miluim. The Avne Miluim, a number of times, and we're going to have to get back to this over the next couple of months, a number of times in his commentary, the Ksos' commentary in Eben Ezer, now the Ksos wrote the Ksos on Choshe Mishpat, Avne Miluim on Eben Ezer, and the Shev Shmaisa on various sugyas. So he loves the Ran in Adarim Adaf Lamed. The Ran Adarim Adaf Lamed that says, well, let's just read the Lashon, we haven't read it in a while. The Ran says that the hakna'a that a woman does in a marriage is not a normal das acheres makne. It's not, even though it sounds like we say a woman is makne herself, it doesn't really mean that, says the Ran. This is a very crucial Ran that's discussed both in Kiddushin and in Adarim and Exubis right now. And that is, the language of the Ran is that a woman is not active at all, even in Kiddushin. In Gerushin, we know she does not need acquiescence, right, on a Daraisa level. Gerushin Balkarcha. She needs to have a Kabbalah, but she does not need to have Ritzona. That's by Gerushin. But by Kiddushin, we thought, you know, there's an equal halachic action taking place. There's a Nesina and there's a Kabbalah, and they both have to be with Ratzon. That's what we assume. The Ran says no. The husband is the active party by the marriage, and the woman is... Let's read the Lashon. Mikivan shehi maskemas l'kiddushi ha'ish. Once she gives the okay, what is happening halachically? She is not being machne. He mevateles daita v'ritzona umafshi nafsha etzel habal kidavar shel hefker v'habal machnisa l'rishuso. Every phrase here is crucial. She is mafkeres atzma. She allows the kiddushin to take place. That's the language of Kiddushin. But he is emphatically saying that the husband is the active halachic party, even in Kiddushin. Hilkach, ein anu donin b'kiddushin mitzad ha'isha, el mitzad ha'bal, u'l'gabi ha'bal, and then he relates it to the Gemara that was mentioned there in the Dharma Daf Lamed. So that's the Ran. So they know the Avne Miluim at least 3 or 4 times in his commentary to answer up various questions, he quotes this. So this is one of them. One of the contexts where he quotes this is in Mem Gimel, Sibin Mem Gimel, Os Beis. He doesn't quote the Nodeh Yehuda, but he quotes this issue of a katan getting married. So he quotes, O Nira, to be kiddushin leka das acheres makne. V'hi ha'isha, there is no das acheres makne. That was the Nodeh Yehuda's question. V'fimach ha'kazav ha'ram, but ha'darm daf lamed. V'mishim ha'chinicha, to lo avi ha'isha, das acheres makne usa, kivat she'ina machneset atzma l'rishus ha'bal, el mevatel at atzma v'chulu v'hefker lo avi, das acheres v'katan lo zacha, shum davar hefker, el b'matana dis las acheres. Matana, it could work. But that's how the Avne Miluim answers the Nodeh Yehuda's question. And Avne Miluim quotes this. Let me just quote one other context where the Avne Miluim quotes this Ran. There is a Shiloh, the first parak in Kiddushin, and the Shulchan Aruch talks about it. What happens if a chassan uses in an unusual lashon in marriage? He doesn't say Hare at Mukudashasli. Right? What does he say? Hare at Ishti. You're my wife. Hare at Zikukasi. Right? Some other type of lashon. Does that work? So the Shulchan Aruch says, quoting the Gemara, Hare at Knuyoli, Hare at Arusasi, Hare at Shali, you're mine. Hare at Pershusi, do all those work. Hare at Lukuchasi, Mikudeshes. It works. That's the language of the Shulchan Aruch. Sounds pretty clear. Adds the Ramah, V'yim hevina dvarav, o shedibru tchila me iske kiddushin. That's when it works. If she understood what it meant, and they would, or they had been talking about marriage right beforehand, what's called asukin ba'oso inyan. That's what he quotes. Aval ha'ish, eino ne'eman lomar, shalokivan l'shem kiddushin. But the man is not believed to say that, oh, I didn't have Kedushin in mind. If he says it's Lashon, he says it's Lashon. But the woman, says the Ramah here, quoting the Ran, interestingly, the Ramah said that she had to understand what was being said. How am I Kedushin? We assume that she understood. Everybody uses that Lashon. But the other time she has to understand. How do we know that she understands? Says the Avni Miluim, Umashma, Da'afilu ein ha'edim yodim, im hevina. What if the Edom ask her afterwards, did you know what was going on? And she says, yeah, sure, I did. But they didn't know that at the time that the marriage took place. Is that good enough? The Edom didn't know. Right? Or, the question is also asked afterwards, what if the woman's face is concealed? Some have a custom of wearing a very thick veil. So what if the Edom cannot see who it is at the time of the marriage? And they, afterwards, they see, oh, it's you. Okay, great. Is that good enough? If there's a lack on the part of the Das HaEdim, something about the Das of the woman. You don't know who she is. You don't know if she understood everything at the moment. Is that good enough? So that's the question of the Avni Miluim. Bakasha, Havikim Mekadish Belo Edim. At the time of the marriage, the Edim didn't know if you understood what was going on. So why should that be good enough? So the Efshar says the Avni Miluim, Kivan de Iker Akidusha Mitzana Makadesh, Kamashakasav Haram and Adarm Daflamid, since the Iker action takes place on the side of the Baal and not on the side of the Isha, so that's why it's okay. But Kivan de Iker Akidusha Mitzana Baal, Mkain Iker Davashaba Ere Mitzana Baalhu, Balachin lo beinon Tre Sadi El Luguba Kidushin, Shashamuin Amakadesh, Avaratson Isha lo boy Edim, Visagi Bahoda Asa. With her Hoda afterwards, that is good enough. So again, this is the Ran again quoted by the Avnei Miluim. And there are other times he quotes. We're going to look it up one more in Siman Lamed Aleph Sif Yud Ches. He also quotes it in another context, in context of where a man tries to marry a half a woman, right? Chetziach Mekudeshes Li. Okay, this is also discussed in the first parak in Kedushin. He also there tries to apply this Ran to being different in terms of the play, it's a play that she has in contrast to the husband. But that's the Ran in Adarim Daf Lamed, Das Acheres Machner. He doesn't say that, but he just says it's not Das Acheres Machner. In the contrast, to answer up the Noda Bihudas Kasha. Okay, so that is the first part of the Mishnah. A Katan that was married and has the Ksuba from the previous time after he was Nisgadel and Baal Ishto, so that Ksuba still works. A ger that was this guy here, the Mishnah also says, works as well. Interesting, the Rabbi Kiva Eger asks Akasha here on the Mishnah without answering it. He says, what's the chiddush of part two? Non-Jews can obligate themselves in different things. So they obligated themselves earlier. He obligated himself to his wife. Okay, there's no mitzvah of ksuba for a non-Jew. But if a non-Jew is mechayev himself to his wife's son, that's a financial obligation. Why would they think that evaporates? Why would we think that he doesn't have to pay it anymore? Right? Because he obligated something and they're both still alive. Why would he think it's something new? So, two notes. Number one, the Beis Yaakov says, the Nesivus, in his commentary, in Simas Samach Zayin, right here says, well, maybe because the understanding of that was as long as they are married together in this lifetime. As long as they're married together. It wasn't just a stama financial obligation. It was a financial obligation related to the marriage. We know that non-Jews have the concept of marriage, different type of marriage, even halachically, different type of marriage than the Jewish concept. But there's a concept of ishus, I shouldn't say marriage, ishus for B'nai Noach. But says the Beis Yaakov, so that financial obligation was linked to this ishus. There's no longer this ishus. This ishus has evaporated. When they become Jewish, Gershon is Gaikon Shinola Dami. So there is no longer that ishus. It doesn't exist. And therefore, that's what you might have thought, that it doesn't. It also evaporates. Maybe it did. And it's just an automatic re-obligation at this time. That's the language of the Beis Yaakov. Denachri lo ischayev es atzmo, rak po'ofen shelo yifzako ishus shelohen, ad yomosam, debu'ulas bal yesh lohem, ula olam lokalo ha'ishus shelohen ad yomosam. B'shemachi kshinis gaira, v'kalo ha'ishus tekef. The kishin is gaira kektana shenolda dami v'himu teres ba'acher v'kalo ha'ishus kodem azman shehisnu b'neihem. So she can marry anybody she wants once she becomes Jewish, right? Gershon is gaira kashenolda dami, right? The Meshechachma's suggestion that the source for that even though we've noted there is no source in Shas for Gershon is Geyer. The concept is quoted in Yevamos, but it doesn't say anywhere what the source for that is. The Noda Behuda suggestion is the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, where it says, after Matan Torah, Shuvu Lochem Lahalechem. Everybody can go back to your tents. And we say in Oel El Ishto, everybody can go back to who they were married to before Maamadar Sinai. But some of them were married to Isurin that just are Arayos, and that just became Arayos. Moshe Rabbeinu's parents, right, were married. That was an Isur marriage, right? It was a nephew and an aunt, right? Yocheved and Amram, right? And there were other Isurim. But it says, you can all go back to your wives. Why? It's Arayos. Gershon is Gai, Kanchan Oladami. We're not related to each other anymore. We're all Gerim, right? That's a total break. Total break. The Rambam even talks about in Hilchos Malachim, if there are certain chiyuvim, halachic chiyuvim, that the non-Jew has from beforehand in terms of violating some of the Sheva Mitzvos Bnei Noach, and then they become Jewish, it could be that they're not going to get punished for that because now they're a different person. Gershon is Gayer. So that's the Chiddush, says the Beis Yaakov, of this Mishnah, that you might have said the whole thing is totally new and evaporates. Kamash Malah, no, it can continue. Okay, says the Gemara. Amar Evhuna Lo Shanu Elamanu Matayim. When do we say what continues after they continue the marriage? The Manu Matayim, which is, that's a Tanai Bezdin, right? That's the Tanai Bezdin. That's automatic. That even if he they weren't married earlier. That's what works. Aval Tosefes Einla. But she does not collect the Tosefes. That's not valid. Why? Because, as Rashi says, what, you're collecting from this previous shtar? The shtar is meaningless. The shtar was written at a time when he had no obligation. Right? Rashi says, shtar lo gavya, the chasva ba'almahu. The shtar is nothing, says Rav Huna, and therefore you can only collect the ikar and not the Tosefes. V'Rav Yehuda, amar afil Tosefes yeshla. No, Rav Yehuda says, even the Tosefes can be collected. A chiddush, even though you're not, might not be, at the time, the shtar was not valid, but, you know, as time went on, it became valid, possibly. Meisvei, the Tosefta that talks about this says, chidshu, if he was mechadish something in the shtar, no, tell us much a chidshu. So then you take what was added on. So chidshu in, lo chidshu lo. So the havamina is that only if he was mechadish something does she collect the Tosefes, but lo chichulo. We think that means that she doesn't collect anything more than the ikker, right? And so she does not collect the Tosefes, even if it was not machadesh, and it's a kasha on Rabbi Yehuda. So the Gemara says, no, ema af mashachichu. No, it says, if she's machadesh, she also takes what she was machadesh. If she wasn't machadesh, she only takes the Tosefes. Says the Gemara of Alo Tani Yachi, you have a brisa that says otherwise, chichu no tell it's mashachichu, lo chichu, psula gova masayim v'almana, mana. Period. So, Tiyup to the Rav Yehuda, it's Beferish Kasha, the Bryce says against Rav Yehuda. That's the Gemara says, Rav Yehuda Masisan at Isei. Rav Yehuda was misled by the Mishnah. Why? Hu Savar Ksubasa Kayemes Akula Milsakoi. When the Mishnah says the Ksub is Kaya, it's Kaya meaning it still exists, whatever was written originally. So even the Tosefes. V'lohi a'ikar ksuba koi. And really, it's not true. It's a'ikar ksuba, because the shtar, as Rashi says, is meaningless. It's chasba ba'alma. So it's just a'ikar ksuba and not more. There is a question that is asked by the Tosfos here, and that is, according to our shita of what we paskin, only mana masayim, not Tosefes, then what's the chiddush? Every marriage has that. Right, the Mishnah is b'mechadish. Oh, a katan that was married and now stays married. You know, he gets the ikar ksuba. Of course, he gets the ikar ksuba. That's a tanai ksuba. Every marriage, even if he doesn't write anything, gets the ikar ksuba. That's Tosfos' kasha. Tosfos, yes. What is the chiddush? Top Tosfos. Vim Torah, MK, Mikamash Malon, Masnison, Makamash Malon, Masnison, Shamanas Kain Kaima. I feel locus of the Olam Yesh Laksuba. Right. So, what's the chiddush? Asked Tosfos of the Mishnah, of the Mishnah according to Rav Huna, which is what we paskin. Tosfos answers, V'yesh Lomar, middle of the Tosfos, Da'ashme'inan hecha denasa besula. The Chiddush is, when they got married, when he was a katan, she was a besula. Now, she's a be'ula. Now, the question is, what ksuba? How much ksuba? So you might have said, well, now she's a be'ula, by the time they're getting married, the real time, so the ksuba should only be a mana. So that's the chiddush. Al nichse baila, right, and it continues. So she gives her the ksuba of a besula. Afagav de kishe gadal onis gayer. Kfar hi beula. Afilo hachi yesh la ksuba masayim. Shamanas ken kima shi akshav kitchilas nisueha. So it should be like the beginning of the marriage, and even though before they weren't married, but when I met you, when we were first married, in quotes, because we weren't really married, you were a psuba. So that's the ksuba that I'm giving you. That is what Tosfos says. That's what Tosfos says here. If you look in the Ritva discusses this question also, and he has three different answers to this question. He asked this kasha, right, kamashvalan, and he says, number one, vitirates. Two different answers, besides the one that Tosfos quotes. Vitirates. Desaka dai dachamina, hecha de lo kasav la me olam, adif tfei, desamcha tnai bezdin. No. It would be better if they don't have any, when we get married, they have no previous ksuba contact. So that's where there's a Tanai Bezdin. Because she's not so mechaz das on anything except for the Tanai Bezdin. Aval hecha de kasav la begius o bekatnus ara tfei. But if he wrote it here in this case, maybe it's worse. Maybe it's worse than a regular case. Because here, there's somech, she's somech as das on something that's meaningless. But that's what she's somech das on. Lo chashiv avikol kach. So, in a chinami, maybe this is worse than a regular case. That's the chiddush of the Mishnah. Number one. Number two is, he quotes, Tosfos Zdeya, Ve'achirim Tirtzu. And then he says, case number three, maybe the Mishnah is telling you another chiddush that goes along with this, and that is the shezel la'acher shehigdil or la'acher shez nizgayer loss of ma'ase nisu and klal. They just kept living together. They didn't do another act of marriage after they got married. So you might think that bahalo tikin rabbanan midi. There wasn't a marriage here. They just continued living together. Maybe the Rabbanan were Misaki and Iksuba, and you can't, like we had Rabbi Meir at the beginning of Paragraph Alpi, that you can't live with your wife even a second without Iksuba, and it's automatic, right, that is only by a marriage. But this was not a marriage. They tried to get married earlier, it didn't work, and now they just keep living together. There was no Mais and Nisuin. Kamash Vala, no. Even here, where halakhically it turns into a marriage, that is good enough to get the Iksuba. So three different opinions in the Ritva. The difficult Shita is the Rambam. You read the Gemara, you don't think there's any distinctions between the cases mentioned in the Mishnah. And that is, Ebenezer, says the Rambam has a distinction in Perek Yud Aleph, Halacha Zayin. Which is where the Rambam got this from. Katan afilu bentesha shanim v'yom echad, shenasa isha ein la ksuba. A katan that gets married, so no ksuba. V'im higdil v'kaima acha shehigdil yesh la ikir ksuba. So, Iker Ksuba, meaning, sounds like, Argnishta, he gets 200. V'chein. So he's like, okay, same thing coming up. V'chein, Gershon is Gaia Huva Ishto, Ksubasa, Mana. Shalmanas Kain Kima. Ask the Magen Mishnah, ask the Lecha Mishnah. What we just said, the whole Chiddush of the Gemara is that, you know, they get Masai and Tosfos, even though she's not a Psul anymore. The Rambam is Bechalik between the case of the Katan and the case of the Ger. The case of the Katan, so, 200. The case of the Ger, 100. That's the Rambam's Shita. Right? And that is the Magen Mishnah and the Lakhim Mishnah's problem. So the Magen Mishnah says, well, just on a practical level, you know why? When did this original marriage take place? There's no big chiddush here in the Rambam, the Magen Mishnah says. Don't get so excited. Why? When did they get married? Pashtus, they got married, she was older than 3 years old. So if the Nachris was older than 3 years old, then the Halach is, she's not called a Psula. So all the Mishnah is saying is that the Ksuba continues what it was. So the Katan who got married a Basula, and that why 200. But in the Ger case, married a Nachris, the Nachris automatically has the Ksuba of Mana. So it just continued. That's the Magen Mishnah's suggestion right here. The Lecha Mishnah also, Yesh Lomar de la Olam Basar Mikaraz Linan. Just interesting, the Gemara doesn't make that point. But they're saying it's obvious. V'gabi ger shiny dafilo azlina basar meikara la basulahi tahasam kodem shenis gaira chashuva zona v'lakach subasamana. Right, the halachic status of a nachris above 3 years old is considered a ba'ula, and therefore a kohen can't marry her. And that's why we say that the Rambam says 100 to 200. But don't get so excited. The Beis Shmuel also talks about this because the Shulchan Aruch quotes it in Simin Samach Zayin. Simon Samach Zayin, the Beis Shmuel, talks about this, all the way at the end of the Simin Samach Zayin. Sorry, Samach Zayin Yud Beis. And Evan Ezer here, the Beis Shmuel talks about it. He quotes the language of the Rambam. Says the Shulchan Aruch. V'chein adin begershin es gaira ishto imo ve'in beinim elam shebezu ink subasa elamana lodas haRambam. Says the Beis Shmuel, Ladasa Magan Mishnah Sham Ari Beisha Kansa Kusios Haziyosim Gimel Shanim Vazi Becheskas Beula Mishamachi Sirle La Ramba De Enlo Elamana Mishum Beis the Suanami Enlo Elamana Umajakasav La Masayim Havi Kitosefes Ksuba Lefize Ein Chilik Ben Katan Lager. Right, according to the Lumdis, how they explain the Ramba, there's no the Lumdis distinction. It's just that may cover that original Ksubas. Ki Beger Shanasa Ishak Shi Bechus Vigimel Shanim. What if in Achinami, the case was less than 3 years old, that you would get a ksuba of 200. That's what the Rambam would say. Yesh l'ksuba masayim. Umidevrei amachaber mashma delo sliver like hamagen mishnah. Doesn't sound that way from the Shulchan Aruch. Doesn't sound that the Shulchan Aruch does not quote any, oh, this is only a case where he married her above three. So even though that's the understanding of the Magen Mishnah, the Lecha Mishnah, the Beis Shmuel says, if you look in the Shulchan Aruch's way of quoting the Rambam, he doesn't make any distinctions. He just says, if two people become Jewish after they're married, the ksuba is a mana. Sounds like there's something more fundamental. How the Rambam understands that, you have to know how he reads the Gemara. You can say the whole Gemara is only going on case number one. Right? Only going on case number one, not on case number two. Not in the Ger case. That's how maybe the Rambam would read the Gemara. But you might have to say something that the jump from Katan to Gadlus is less of a jump than from Nachri to Yahadus. And there, it's a total break. It's more of a break than becoming a Gadol. And that's why the Rambam is Mechalik. Right? That's why. Again, it's not too clear why the Rambam said it, but that is a discussion. Okay, Adar Lo Chosev L'Ishto. Let's get into the 10th parak here of Maseches Ksubis. Parak Misha Yanasui. Misha Yanasui, Shtei Nashim Vameis. Man is married to two wives, and then he dies. So, Harishona, meaning he predeceases both of them. And they both get married at different times. They both have ksubos, Harishona, Kodemas, Lishnia. So the earlier marriage, that ksuba is dated earlier, she gets to collect before the second one. The Yarshi, Harishona, Kodem, Liyarshi, Shnia. And if the women then die after he died, so then the Yarshim of the first one come before the Yarshim of the second one. Right, everybody is equal, everybody's getting their ksuba, everybody's getting the Yarshim, the ksuba by the Yarshim. So therefore the first comes before the second. But what about Nasas Harishona Vamesa? What if a man marries a woman and then she dies? She dies first. Nasa Shnia, then he marries a second woman, Vamesu, and then he dies. So now what? So now the second wife or her children are coming to collect the ksuba. They are Baale Chovos. They are owed the ksuba. The first wife's children are coming to collect ksubas banin dichrin, as we discussed earlier in the Masechta. That one of the Tanai Ksuba is that when the father gives dowry, gives an adunya to his daughter, so he puts in there that just in case my daughter predeceases, I want my grandchildren to get this. I don't want it to go to the husband and then go to other children that he has with another woman. I want my children to get it. So they're coming, his daughter, the first wife's children are coming, Betoras Yerusha. So the Mishnah says, what wins? Bal Chov or Yoresh? Shnia V'Yarsheh Kodmin L'Yarsheh Rishona. The second one wins. Why? Because as Rashi explains, Bal Chov comes before Yarshim. Ksubas Ban and Dichrin is in second place. Right? First, collecting the actual ksuba, and after that, then they could come and collect the ksubas Ban and Dichrin. Right? So that is the Mishnah. We discuss, we'll come back to it at the end if we have time, the Machlokas Gaonim in the Rush, in the fourth parak, whether ksubas Ban and Dichrin is something that should apply even Bizman Azeh. The reason does not apply anymore, because the Rush says, now, fathers give their daughters anyway. Right, the whole reason the Gemara said earlier we have Suez Ben Dichrin is so that there'll be koftsim on the daughters. Now there are koftsim anyway. So do we have to have the Suez Ben Dichrin? Machlokes in the Gaonim. Whether, even though the reason does not apply, do we say the Takana is still in full force? Okay, so we'll get back to that if we have time. If not, that's back in the fourth pair. Says the Gemara. So Midiktani Arishona Kodemus Lishnia. From the fact that the Mishnah's language is the first comes before the second. The Loktani Harishona Yeshla Vashnia Ainla. It doesn't say the first half, the second doesn't have. It just says the order. Michlal. It's a less forceful Lashon. So what do we see that, think that means? Di Kadma Shnia Vatapsa Lomafkina Mina. Yeah, the First one should take. This is in the first case, the Mishnah of the Ksubis. They're equal. The first one should take first, but if the second one took, okay, they could keep it. Lo mafkina mina. We're not mafkia it from them. So is that true, that diyuk from the Mishnah? And shma mina, if that's true, balchov me'uchar shekadim v'gava mashagava gava, then this would prove to the major shasugya elsewhere that if you have two balechovos, so the first one really has an earlier lien, and he should collect first. But what if the second one grabbed the stuff anyway? Does he get to keep it? Sounds like yes. That's the diyuk from our Mishnah. The first wife should go first, but if the second wife went and took, she'd be able to keep it. That's the language of kodemis. It's only a language of lechadchila. So where it says lo, no, maybe not. Lo lo meim alecha mashagava lo gava. Maybe we would say in general, by a later Balchov that collected, he cannot keep it. Umay kodemes, legamrei ktani. And kodemes in the Mishnah means, it is a strong lashon. It's legamrei. Don't think it's just a lechadchila lashon. It's vadai, kiditznan, like the Mishnah says in Baba Basra, talking about Yerusha, ben kodem labas. Right, a son on a daraisa level gets Yerusha, kodem the bas. What does that mean? Total. If there's no son, then the bas gets. But if there's a son, then he gets everything. Ben kodem labas. You see, that's the washing of kodem is very strong. So here kodem is also is very strong. That's one version of the diuk. So we try to make a diuk, and then we rejected it. So ika da amri or midelo kasav im kadma shniya v'tafsa ein motzi in miyada. Or maybe the diuk is the opposite, from the fact that it didn't say it beferish, that the second one could keep it if she's tofeses. So make the opposite diyuk, that if the second one would try to grab it, we would be motzi it from her. So can we make the opposite diyuk? It's a machlokas elsewhere. So we want to know if this Mishnah weighs in on either side. So maybe we should make the opposite diyuk, that the later Balchov cannot keep it. Somewhere it says lo, not lo, really, she could keep it, may possibly. Meaning there's no raya from our Mishnah. And Aidi Detana Shnia V'Yarshel Kodin L'Yarshel Rishona. It just uses a parallel lashon because it says that Shnia V'Yarshelha in the second case comes before the Yarshel Rishona, and there vada you would be motzi from the second ones because they're only Yerusha and the first one is a Balchov. So Tana Nami Arishona Kodemus L'Shnia. So that's why it also says the lashon of kodemis. But don't think that it's such a strong lashon that it's strong in the sefer, it's strong in the resha. No, lav dafka. That is true. Tosfos and the other rishonim here, he asks a simple question on the manda amar mashegava gava, right? Mashegava gava, and that is right. What was the possible diik from a mishnah? If a later balchov comes, they could collect from the earlier one. But don't we have a general principle that if somebody have a lova? A lova sells something, sells property. And he owes money to somebody from a previous time. So what's the halacha? That balchov could go and collect from a shubadim. That's the concept of a shtar. Kav v'shtar, the power of a milva b'shtar over a milva alpeh, is that he collect from a shubadim. So I don't understand, there's Tosfos, in Dibur Maskil Shma Amina. Why is it that a regular case, if a balchov can go collect from a lokeach, and yet there's a shita that a later balchov might have more power than the lokeach? An earlier balchov could go to a lokeach and collect what he is owed. But according to the mandamar here, mashagava gava, an earlier lokeach cannot go to a later lokeach. Why? Why is a lokeach weaker than a balchov? Ask Tosfos. Tema. Masvarizu. To lo ye balchov elok lokeach. Let the balchov be like somebody you sold it to. Da mi lokeach gufe katar balchov rishon. Right, a balchov could take it from that's the whole concept of shibudim, the whole concept of nechazim shibudim that he could collect from lekugos. So, why is a balchov stronger than a lokeach? Stosis has two answers. First, he goes to Rashbam, v'tiris Rashbam to balchov meuchar adif me lokeach, shalotin odalas befrei lavin. Answer number one is shalotin odalas. We mentioned this last week also. Well, we always want to make sure that people give loans. And if we know that if this man sells the property, I'm not going to be able to collect it. I'm not going to give you the loan in the first place. So shalotin odeles, and that's why he is worried about that. And we're not worried in the case of two balchovs because he's getting the loan the second time anyway. Number one. Number two, Tosfos on the fourth wide line, OT rates. Maybe there's no real fundamental chiluk here. The chiluk is metaltalin versus karka. The whole machlokas between mashagava, gava or not, maybe he's only talking about metaltalin. But by karka, he for sure could collect both a lokeach and a balchov. another answer. But just the third one, and then we'll continue. The Me'iri's Lashon here, it's a pretty radical Lashon, but the Me'iri's Lashon here is that the Lokeach is kind of like a Gazlan. That's the language of the Me'iri. Shalokeach ke'ein Gazlan hu. Shalohaya lo likach mashemishuba la'achirim. And if you didn't know, it was your job to do the research, whether there's any liens on these properties. That's the language of the Me'iri. So if you're a quasi-Gazlan, that's why I'm allowed to take it. A Baal Chuv, I'm borrowing money. I'm not doing anything. Right? I'm lending you money. So I'm giving you something. Lokeach is taking something from there, so he's not really a Gazlan. He's not violating Lo Sigzo, but he's Ke'ein Gazlan, and that's why the Baal Chuv could come and take it. Why a Lokeach might be worse than a Baal Chuv. Viter. Natsas Arishona. So what happened? The second case of the Mishnah. Remember what happened? Man is married to a woman. The woman dies. The man marries a second woman, and then the man dies. So the second woman is coming to collect her ksuba. The first woman is coming to collect ksuba's banin dichrin. Shma mina tlas. The Gemara says you learn three things from that halacha. Shma mina, number one, achas b'chayev, achas b'moso, yesh lan ksuba's banin dichrin. Whether the husband... both wives, let's say there were two wives, we might have said that Ksuba Banin Dichrin only applies where both wives predeceased the man. That's where in each of them collect their Ksuba Banin Dichrin, because then they're coming from equal footing. But you might have said that if one predeceases and one dies after the man, so then you might get into some, you know, fights. Well, she's coming to collect her Ksuba, she's coming to collect her Yerusha. So you might have said it doesn't apply. Chacham didn't institute it in that case. So this Mishnah proves not that way. You're not worried about fighting here, right? Because you see that they're collect, even though one is collecting Batoras Baal Chov, one is collecting Batoras Yerusha, Ksubas Banin Dichrin. The Rush has two deyas. What happens if the second wife, is still Kayam, right? What did it say in our Mishnah? The first wife dies, and the man gets married, then the man dies, and then Shnia V'Yarsheha, Kodman L'Yarshi HaRishona. So if the second woman would be alive and collecting, and her Yarshim would not have anything left, do you also say there that you would apply to his banin dichrin, or would you say there, Asil and Suye? They're going to cause fights, because now the second Yarshim aren't going to have anything. Right, so that is a two deyas in the Rush and the Ramban here, whether you're Choshesh Lin Suye in that case. Okay, but that's number one. That Ksubas Banin Dichrin applies no matter when the women die. Both before him or one before, one after. Mimai, Midiktani, Shniya V'Yarsheh, called Minli Yarsheh Rishona. From our case, it says Shniya V'Yarsheh come before the Yarsheh Rishona. Mikdim Udakadmi. They come first, meaning if there's only that enough property for that Ksuba, fine. Ha'ika Shakli, but if there is enough for them to collect the Ksubas Banin Dichrin, they would get it. Second. So therefore, that's Raya number one. Vishmamina number two. Ksuba nasis mosala chaverta. What does that mean? If you remember, we have the halach of Ksubas Banin Dichrin. That only applies. Remember, what's the Ksubas Banin Dichrin? That the grandchildren collect the ksub, the nedunya that was given to their mother going into marriage. Even if it's way more than the rest of the property. So we had, back in the fourth parak, I think, we said that Ksubas Banin Dichrin only applies if there is at least a little dinar. There's a dinar besides what they're collecting that you can split up equally to fulfill Yerusha Daraisa. The Chachamim did not want to uproot totally Yerusha Daraisa. So as long as there is a dinar besides what they're collecting, that's good enough. What about this case? What about the case where the second wife is collecting her Ksuba and there's only the amount of Ksubas Banin Dichrin left? Says the Gemara, you know what our Mishnah sounds like? That's good enough. You don't need any extra dinar. Because paying off that ksuba itself, that's Betoras Yerusha. It's as if all the children got that and are now paying the wife the ksuba. Because it's like a Baal Chov. Right? Whenever, if you pay from a Baal Chov, it's going from the estate. You don't need an extra dinar. The ksuba that is being paid, language again of the Gemara, ksuba na'as is mosa l'chaverta. The ksuba is considered the mosa, it's considered the extra, the little dinar that we need extra. Paying the ksuba is enough. L'chaverta, right? You don't need anything extra. Again, it's as if they got it. They will makabel the Yerusha, and now they are paying. Mimai, mitiloktani, misha moser diner. Because it doesn't say that ktsnai. You don't need it here, because the ksuba is good enough. This achashuki chemin on that, but hopefully we'll get to that. Let's just finish the flow. Vishma mina, ksuba's banan dichron, lotafra, mimishabdi. And also, number three, you see Ksubas Banin Dichrin, you cannot be Toref from an earlier Baal Chov. Why? Because if you say that it can be Torfei Mishubadim, meaning if you say it's not Balchov, it's like, it's not Yerusha, it's like a Balchov, then we'd go in a circle. So then once the Bnei Shnia collected their ksuba, so then the Yarshi Rishona could take it from them, because they're an earlier Balchov. But they can't do that. The Mishnah is clear. So it must be because ksuba Zman Dechrin is Petaras Yerusha, not Petaras Balchov. Three different diyukim. Says the Gemara, I don't like those diyukim. Maskev l'Rav Ashi, mimai. Dilma, how do you know diyuk number one? How do you know shma mina number one? Dilma la'olam, emalacha achas b'chayiv achas b'moso, ein la'ek subis banin dichrin. Maybe if one predeceased the husband and one died after, there is no subis banin dichrin, because it's going to lead to fights. Umay kodmin linach luktani. And what is kodim? Kodim means linachala, meaning the woman gets the second woman and her yershim get the ksuba, and then after that they split up everything equally. Who says we're talking about ksubas b'nedichrin in the Mishnah? It just says that the first ones get a portion. After the second ones take their mother's ksuba, they all split the rest of the yerusha up equally. So who says we're talking about ksubas b'nedichrin? V'chitim a yarshi arishona lamali. And if you want to say, so why does it emphasize yarshi arishona? Everybody gets a chelek. The yarshi arishona, shniyah, shlishis, everybody gets an equal chelek. So why did it say that? That's just to be parallel. I did the Tana Shnia of Yersheha, Tana Nami Yershe Arishona. Because it says the second one, so it contrasts that to the first one. But number one, maybe the Mishnah's not talking about Ksubas Banin Dichrin. Number two, we're going to knock out each of them. Uta Ka'amri, Ksuba Nasis Mosul L'Chaverta. And according to that, Shma Mina, maybe that's not true either. Dimala Olam Emelecha, Ain Ksuba Nasis Mosul L'Chaverta. Maybe that's not good enough. Ksuba is not considered Mosar, meaning you can't say, oh, that's the extra that you need. Fahachahu di'ika, Moser Diner. There is Moser Diner here. The Mishnah just didn't mention it. But maybe just paying the ksuba cannot be considered the extra, and it's the fulfillment of Yerusha. And finally, so that we docked out both of those diyukim. The third diyuk, you know, it's we do not knock out. But the Gemara says, now, v'achas b'chayv, achas b'moso, tanoihi. Achas b'chayv and moso is a machlokes tanoim. Right? The Shidim Kubet says here, notes, a diuk in Rashi, usually we say, lema tanoihi, which means we're going to reject it. But here it just says it as a statement, tanoihi. What does it say? What does it say? Lema. Shidim Kubet says, medayik in Rashi, that maybe here we're only saying, it's a machlokes tanoim for sure, but what we're not sure about is what the machlokes is about. So the fact that achas b'moso is a tanoihi, the Tanya says beferish mesu achas b'chayv achas b'moso benanas omer yecholim b'nei harishon alomer l'bnei hashniya b'nei ba'alas chov atem tzlu ksubas imchem utzu. The b'nei harishona can say, go take your ksuba and then leave, meaning because then we're going to go take our ksubas banin dichrin. That's one. Rabbi Akiva omer no kfar kavza nachla milafnei b'nei harishona v'nafla lafnei b'nei hashniya. No, the second ones have everything. So what's the machlokes about? My lab hakam iflugi. The marsav achas b'chayv achas b'moso yeshlang ksubas banin dichrin, and that's the language of the first opinion. Ben nanas umarsav achas b'chayv achas b'moso ain lam ksubas banin dichrin. No, they don't have that. They don't have that. So maybe that's the machlokas here. So Amar Rava, no, ashkachtin al rabbanan debe Rav the Yasi v'kamri. I found them sitting and talking and saying to kuli alma achas b'chayv achas b'moso yeshlang ksubas banin dichrin. Everybody would agree in that case. Our machlokes is about something else. V'hacha b'ksuba nasis mosa l'chaverta. Our machlokes is about the second issue. Whether the ksuba could function as, you look at it as if all the yershim got it, and now we're paying the ksuba. And the huadin l'balchov kamiflagi. And the same issue would be not just paying the ksuba, but paying any balchov. Would that be good enough to function as the yerusha that was had? And therefore, you could collect the ksuba's banin dichrin. Marsav or ksuba nasis mosa l'chaverta v'hua din l'balchov. One says they both work, both considered Yerusha. Umarsav or ain ksuba nasis mosa l'chaverta v'hua din l'balchov. And the other one says no. Right? So that's a second I heard them talking about, that's the machlokes. V'yamino l'hua na, and Rabbah says, but I think, b'balchov kule amalo pliki davi moser. I think if they're paying a third party balchov for sure, that works. That's as if the Yershim got it, and now they're paying off a balchov. Kipligi b'ksuba. The ksuba case, you can't say, possibly, that that's called the yarshim paying off, because some of the yarshim are they themselves that are getting it. So it's harder to say, as Rashi explains, that the paying off the ksuba is considered the dinar. Paying off a balchov is considered the dinar. But paying off the ksuba to some of these yarshim themselves, that might not be called that. Just one more line. Maskev l'Rav Yosef, ihachi, Rabbi Akiva omer kfar kapsa nachla, em yesham dinar mi boilei. If the machlokes is about the moser dinar, then the language doesn't fit in. So El Amar Rav Yosef va'achas b'chayim v'achas mosuk ha'miflagi. I think you go back to their arguing about the earlier case. Period. We'll start with a Ritva tomorrow about that last line. Just to mention that Chashuk Yechemet from before, in terms of Yerusha and giving some away, there's Allah in Shulchan Aruch, that if somebody finds out that their relative died, but the relative left then $5 million. So there are two brachas that you make. You make a Dayana Emes and a Shechianu, in that order. First say Dayana Emes because of the what occurred, and then you say a Shechianu because of the money that that one had. But what happens if the father left a lot of money, but a lot of Baalei Chovos? Kind of the opposite. So, tons of money, but then you're going to have to give it all away. So do you still say a Shechianu here? Right? Our case is it's considered Yerusha, but then giving it away. So do we say that is considered a case where you would make the Shechianu because you have it, but you're not going to have it soon, or not? Kind of like in the Gemara, in the Mishnah in Brachas. You make a bracha on a ra mein atova, tova mein ara, right? You go by right now or the long term. Okay, we'll stop here. Hashem, we will continue.